Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the gospel reading, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may rejoice in what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. On Christmas Day, we heard the great prologue from John's gospel. And as part of that prologue, we heard these words. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The picture here in John's Gospel is of light and darkness as opposing forces, but the darkness not being able to extinguish the light. The true light, Christ Jesus, is stronger than any darkness. That's the great proclamation of Christmas. Now today, I'm proclaiming good news from the scriptures. The light of Christ, which shone even in his infancy, shines also to us, shines in our lives. This overcomes for us the power of darkness. And as we receive Christ, as we receive his body and blood even today, Christ is with us and strengthens us so that we can stand fast in the face of any opposition, so that we can persevere in faith, and so that our faith shines out in deeds of Christian love. Well, let's hear how the text starts. When the time came for their purification, this is Jesus and his mother Mary, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. So Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. We've heard the song of the angels. The shepherds have visited Jesus and seen him and glorified God for what God has done. And now the narrative opens up and we hear Jesus in his infancy, taken in the arms of his parents to have the sacrifices prescribed under the law. So here we have Jesus even in his infancy as one who fulfills the law. Jesus who will fulfill the law in love. Jesus even in his infancy as someone fulfilling the law prescribed by Moses, by God through Moses. One thing to note here, by the way, is that the sacrifice which Mary and Joseph give is the cheaper option. So if you go back in the Bible and look where this is written, there are options to give. If you have money in your pocket, you offer a lamb at least. But here we have the simple offering, it says in our text, of two turtle doves or two young pigeons. This suggests that Mary and Joseph don't have money in their pocket. Now they're called righteous people. People who have God's approval and God's blessings, and yet they are not wealthy by worldly standards. And it's good for us to keep this in mind, because as human beings, we naturally think that if God blesses someone, that must mean they have a material abundance. Indeed, there are blessings in keeping God's law. We talk about this explicitly when it comes to our marriage rite. But we make a mistake if we think that keeping God's commands to us thereby means that we will become wealthy. That was not the case for Mary and Joseph, and it certainly was not the case for Jesus. In fact, Jesus, in his ministry, gave warnings, special warnings, about the temptations of wealth. So it's good for us to keep this in mind as we receive this word, so that we are saved from false understandings about the relationship between wealth and blessing. Now listen to how the text goes on. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. This fellow Simeon is looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Now, in our Advent readings, we had this as a theme. In fact, we heard from Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord." So God comforting his people and preparing his people to receive this consolation is what we have been hearing about in the church during Advent, and was one of the themes of expectation among God's people before the birth of Christ. And here we have the figure of Simeon looking forward to the consolation of Israel, to the consolation that God would bring. By the way, some of you may have seen the Messiah before Christmas this year. It's regular in Adelaide to have multiple performances of this great work of music. One of the great arias, of course, is Comfort, Comfort. And for me, and I dare say for many of you, we have this ringing in our ears as we even hear these words, let alone attend to the text. Now, Simeon, like Mary and Joseph, was righteous and devout. He was not someone who did the bare minimum when it came to the life in God's household, but he lived peacefully and joyfully in God's kingdom. He had what we could call a private revelation from the Spirit. It had been revealed to him, but no one else, that he would see the Lord's Messiah before he died. Now, from this, we get the picture that Simeon is an older fellow. I think it's the right deduction to make from the text. He's in his old age, it seems, and he's waiting for this sign of consolation. And the Spirit leads Simeon to Christ. Now, it's good for us to pause here because the text reveals to us what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit leads us to Christ. The Holy Spirit led Simeon to Christ, and not Christ as an idea or a concept, but to the infant Christ held in the arms of his parents. Now, for us as God's people, it's good for us to consider what the Spirit does for us. The Spirit leads us to Christ, again, not as an idea, but Christ as he makes himself present for us. In our Lutheran tradition, we think about this when it comes to the explanation of the third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit. We say that we can't come to Jesus or believe in him except by the Spirit. And the Spirit is the one who calls us to Jesus. So we can know that we're dealing with the real Holy Spirit when we are being led to Christ. If we have a spirit that leads us away from Christ or away from his word, something is going wrong. Now, this is what we read about Simeon. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. So this man's looking for consolation from God. The Spirit leads him to the temple and indeed to the infant Christ, and Simeon takes him in his arms. And then he sings a song with which we are very familiar here at Bethlehem. Here it is in the New Revised Standard Version translation. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Do these words sound familiar to you? They are known traditionally as the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. We sing these words here regularly at Bethlehem after we have received Holy Communion. It's in our normal service with communion. Here's our understanding. The Holy Spirit leads us to come into the presence of God together as God's people. And where Christ is, we understand, there the glory of God is revealed, light which the darkness cannot overcome. We experience this for ourselves when we hold the body of Christ in our hands and eat, when we drink from the one cup, the blood of Christ Jesus, through which we have the forgiveness of sins and life with God, now and forever. We understand this to be the work of the Spirit, leading us to Christ to receive his benefits. And so, like Simeon, we regularly sing this song. So keep this in mind next time you sing the song here at Bethlehem. It's a song sung especially by us when we have received the Christ child as he comes to us in his body and blood. Just as an aside, by the way, this same song is sung by the church at night prayer. Compline. We don't regularly have this service publicly offered here at Bethlehem, but it's part of our church's rites. It's a song sung before we go into the sleep that prepares us for the sleep of death. It's also, as it happens, part of the rite for the dying, So as a pastor, I am often praying this prayer beside people who are dying at their deathbed. Now, what happens next in the gospel reading strikes an ominous note, though. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So on the one hand, there is great blessing, but again, God's word holds us back from making false conclusions about what blessing means. Sometimes we can think, if there's blessing from God, that must mean everything will go all right for us. But this is not how it is in the text. Simeon, through his word of blessing, assures Mary that her son will be opposed, that who he is, that what he teaches, that his path of life will reveal what is going on in sinful human hearts. And when it is revealed, people will oppose Jesus. And we could say, oppose any, therefore, who bear his name, who uphold his word. This does not necessarily make life easy. In fact, Simeon says regarding Mary that a sword will pierce your own soul too. I think it's quite sound to consider this in light of the crucifixion, with Mary at the foot of the cross, seeing her son die for the mission that he is on. What mother would want to see her son die in such a way? This is one way the church has traditionally understood this phrase, that Mary's soul is pierced as well. She's been prepared at this early stage of her life with Jesus for the difficulties which are to come. Now, the narrative of Jesus in the temple is not over. We hear these words. There was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. And again we have Anna, we have in Anna a picture of devotion, someone who is regularly in the temple, someone who has the devotional practices of prayer and fasting as markers for her way of life. And again, she is drawn to be where Jesus is. This should give us encouragement, by the way, in our own life of devotion, that devotion leads us to Jesus. That is at the heart of true devotion. And this Anna speaks about the redemption of Israel to be worked through the Lord Jesus, revealing to us, even in his infancy, who Jesus is, the one who buys us out of slavery to sin and who gives us the gift of life with God. This is how our reading ends. When they finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him. Now, of course, we know that Jesus was already the Son of God. The text of Luke makes this explicitly clear. But he's growing towards the goal which God had given him, the goal of his crucifixion for our sake and his resurrection to conquer death, to show us that the light of God cannot be extinguished by darkness, by sin, by hell, or by death. This is the Saviour we have, the one proclaimed for us in Scripture. Today, as God's people here, we will soon come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ, in which we receive the forgiveness of sins. And in receiving this gift, we will grow in the freedom to love one another. We do not have to earn our way into God's goodness. Rather, God gives us his approval and favour as a gift. It's God's generosity that frees us to be generous with one another. It's God's forgiveness of us in Christ Jesus which frees us to forgive one another. It's our Lord Jesus Christ who sought to serve our needs, who frees us to see each other in our need and to give each other encouragement and help as God equips us. In other words, we see that the light of God shines in Christ, And as we receive him in faith, his light also shines among us here. Well, may God do this by his word, by the power of his word, so that his name may be glorified among us too. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.